Hi, I'm Dr. Hansa Vargava, practicing pediatrician and senior medical correspondent for Medscape, senior medical officer for WebMD. And today I have the pleasure of having Dr. Fernando Stein here, the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics, to discuss some very important issues. Dr. Stein, thank you for being here and welcome.
Thank you.
Would you just like to tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes. I was born in Guatemala. I went to medical school there and then moved to Houston, Texas in the late part of 1975. I did my residency in general pediatrics and critical care in Houston. I remained there until recently when I assumed the presidency of the academy.
Well, thank you so much for your time. We're really excited to have you here. So today we'll be discussing a few issues that have been elevated by the American Academy of Pediatrics and are very important and relevant to what's going on in medicine today. So let's talk first about the children's health care coverage. Congress is currently in recess. They will return to Washington the week of April 24th. Although the American Health Care Act didn't pass the House, it does seem to be on the radar for the Trump administration. The AAP is focused at the moment on extending funding for Children's Health Insurance Program, which expires in September, and continues to urge Congress to keep Medicaid strong for children. Can you briefly describe the impact of CHIP on children's access to care?
Yes. Nearly 9 million children are enrolled in the CHIP program. Thanks to CHIP, working hand-in-hand with Medicaid, children are having less issues with insurance, and as we speak here today, more than 95% of children are covered by one form of insurance or another, and the AHCA would drastically curtail that level of coverage.
There's also been some discussion about subsidies with the tweaking of the ACA and not having subsidies, which could possibly give higher deductibles insurances. Would that affect children as well, Dr. Stein?
Yes. Children are not little adults, and there are certain issues related to Medicaid that are interesting. For example, that in absolute numbers, the number of children that are covered by Medicaid is about 50% of users, and they represent about 20% of the expense. That's a good investment right there. Some of the changes that are being suggested would change that. In addition to the bill's proposal to fund Medicaid per capita caps, the amendments approved would essentially eviscerate existing protections that afford children and pregnant women the appropriate coverage that they need.
How could that affect the immunization programs that exist currently?
The immunization programs are covered by a variety of sources, both local, federal, and state. But the issue of immunizations appears to be more legislative than actual implementation. It's not so dependent on funding.
What has the AAP been doing to educate legislators and the public about concerns with the ACA replacement or tweaking of it?
In short, we have been doing a lot. The three elements. Number one, we partnered with other medical organizations that represent primary care physicians, the American Congress of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the American College of Physicians, the internist, the American Academy of Family Practitioners, and the American Academy of Osteopathic Medicine. Between the five organizations, we represent 500,000 physicians.
Wow.
We've been to the Hill several times. The first time we went, we had a press briefing, and one of the reporters asked me, "So whose ear do you think you have, Dr. Stein?" Right before we went, and my reply was, we have the ear of our patients. Mm. If you figure that 1,000 to 2,000 patients per doctor, you do the numbers, 500,000
yes.
physicians, we have the potential for reaching 100 million people.
That's excellent and so important. So it's obvious and clear that the AAP will continue to monitor any and all legislative efforts, and that's incredible, the work that you all have done that affect healthcare coverage. But what do you suggest that pediatricians on an individual basis can do to advocate for children?
The pediatrician needs to respond to the needs of children, and we have to be where our families are. So pediatricians need to reach out to their patients. We need to be advocates for the rights of children, and that can be done not only through social media, but getting engaged in community efforts and speaking up for children wherever we have the opportunity to do so.
I think that I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second, because our audience is physicians. As you know, they're extremely busy in practice. What are two easy things that we can do to make sure legislators listen to the needs of children?
Pediatricians are welcome in the halls of Congress. I was really skeptical when I was first asked by the Academy to go and speak on behalf of the profession and of the patients that we serve. We had a fly-in with 150 pediatricians and visited the offices of many members of Congress, over 50 of them.
Oh, wow.
And we were very welcome, not only because of the fact that we represent children, and children have no enemies, really, but also the fact that we have also done the approaches to the members of Congress in tandem or in coordination with the other medical organizations representing, as I said, 500,000 physicians.
Thank you, Dr. Stein, and we'll conclude the interview here. I'm Dr. Hansa Bhargava from Medscape, and thank you for joining us today.